roll out a once-in-a-lifetime business opportunity. Music.
Enter.
Worldwide. Why?
Enter.
Worldwide.
Ciao ragazzi, welcome along to the Inter Worldwide podcast. It's laid back, it's casual, with two of the OGs, two of the people that have been with Inter Worldwide almost from day dot. It's Christian Rivas and Alessandro, also known as SF Zorro on Twitter. He'll keep you posted. Shout out to the boys. Welcome Alessandro to the podcast. And thank you so much for hosting this particular edition of the Inter Worldwide brand and channel ever so thoroughly and consistently over the last, what? You've probably been carrying it for like 9 out of the last 10 podcast episodes, man, and giving me a chance to really push the other content on the channel, which I really appreciate.
Of course. Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
And joining us straight after work, as always, it's his hotspot time, and I'm always good. I can always just catch him in time, rocking my personal favorite Inter jersey of all time, Christian Rivas. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. If it was casual, I felt like I'm overdressed right now because I got a nice Scudetto patch right here.
Nice one, man. Love it. Love it. We're going to have a nice little chit chat here, and I'll try and cover as much content that I didn't get to cover last night when I was live so that we're not repeating. But because I've got Alessandro here, I really wanted to hear his opinion on Conte leaving and Simone Inzaghi coming in. You know, you've obviously had a lot of time to digest it. What were your initial thoughts, and what are your more recent thoughts as of right now?
Well, my initial thought on Conte leaving, I wasn't completely surprised, of course. It was in the air. And so, you know, I'm sorry he's leaving. I thought we had opportunity to build something for next year too. And now, I'm not saying we have to start from scratch, but almost. And then the thing that was the worried me the most was like the complete sense of like no plan. Like he left, and for a couple of days it was like, all right, we don't know where to go, we don't know who to call. The only option, it seemed to be Allegri, but at the same time there was these rumors again with Real Madrid and Juventus, and then everybody was like, all right, if he's not Allegri, he's nobody. So and the option Inzaghi wasn't appealing at all to me, not for the tactical aspect, but for the persona mainly. And once finally was decided was Inzaghi, I had to go through a whole 10 steps, you know, to figure it out. Like, all right, he's the coach, that's official, and I have to deal with that. And right now I'm in a situation where I can't hear myself. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, yeah. So basically, I'm okay. I think technically we should be able to keep the 3-5-2 and adjust the movement and attack. Lautaro and Lukaku, they need to adjust because the striker with Inzaghi usually do a different job than under Conte. But the rest of the team, the build-up of the games should be pretty similar. So I'm okay with that. I think that after all, it's a wise decision considering the other option for coaches that are around. But to be honest, I don't think he has the personality to be an in coach. We saw who won with us in the recent past, Conte and Mourinho, and nobody can go close to those two as a matter of fighting spirits, you know. Inzaghi is nothing like that, Spalletti is nothing like that. They can bring it to a point, but that's it. So I hope we can fight like this year for the Scudetto. But realistically, I'm a little bit worried.
I agree with what you're saying for the most part, but it's you have seen league titles won by managers before that weren't necessarily at that level, or at least you didn't think they were at that level. I remember Maurizio Sarri just really, really didn't know what he was doing at Juventus, but they coasted on sheer individual talent a lot of the time as well. I think this Inzaghi's going into the best looking team he's ever had. I think just based on sheer personnel, we should be able to fight for the title. But what you're saying might come to fruition in those real crunch games, not only in the big ones, but the ones where the points really matter the most, in a sense where Inter would usually choke at the opportunity to go further ahead. That might happen again. Whereas under Conte, we really grabbed every opportunity by the balls last season and there was no looking back. Christian, your thoughts now on Inzaghi coming in, man. What are you expecting straight away?
So originally, I know we both discussed I'd prefer the Allegri to come in. I mean, Inzaghi to me was never a bad choice. He just wasn't the perfect choice. He's a good choice. He's not bad. I still think he could still win Scudetto with this team. Again, we talk about coaches that didn't have that pedigree to get there when they came to Inter. You didn't think they'd win anything. Look at Mancini when he came. He came again, same thing from Lazio. He had won a couple of, you know, Coppa Italias and stuff, but he wasn't winning Scudettos like that. He comes to Inter, he starts winning. He's actually our most winningest coach in Inter history. So you got to look at it like that. You can't expect coaches to come from the Lazios, the Romas, and think that they're going to be Scudetto winning coaches off break. Like, they got to where they were for a reason. And Inzaghi was in the running for the Juve job 2 years ago before they picked Sarri. You know, so again, I'm optimistic. I don't think it's a complete loss. I mean, I've made this point across before. I would have rather sold Lukaku than Hakimi, but it's not the end of the world that we sold Hakimi because, I mean, we're more prepared to replace him than Lukaku at this point. So I think he's
we haven't exactly sold Hakimi yet, man. Those rumors have slowed down a little bit. I'm starting to think if maybe an offer for Lautaro has come through from Spain, that might look a little bit better because technically you can replace Lautaro better than you can replace Hakimi, in my opinion. But I would, you know, I don't know. I don't want to lose any of the three.
It's all debatable. I wouldn't either. But to me, Lautaro is just, if I had to pick between the three, I'm keeping Lautaro and Hakimi and selling Lukaku. You got to remember, there's more of an upside with Lautaro and Hakimi. Like I said, last time I was on the pod with Bruno and you, you know, to me, Lautaro should be the last one to go for the simple fact that he's 23, I guess. And he still has a higher upside. If he has a bad season, his price isn't going to drop down drastically. It's still going to be there because he's still young and has a positive upside. But Lukaku has a bad season. He's about to be 29. His price drops down 30 million. So you're talking about 120 million or 100 million euro striker down to 70 million euros. And then from there, it keeps dropping and dropping and dropping. It's one of those things you kind of, You cash out while you can, you know, but it's not a total loss.
What do you reckon,
Lukaku?
Yeah, fair enough. Before I go into a few of our other players, yeah, Alessandro, go ahead. I really wanted to hear out of those three, who do you think's the most dispensable?
I will pick Lautaro just because I think Lukaku gives you something that it's really hard to find in a striker right now. Hakimi is just another level. It can bring you, he brings you like 9-10 points a season just for what he does. It's amazing. And Lautaro is young, but you know, you can find another striker with that characteristic around and without going crazy, without spending that much. So right now, if you sell Lautaro for the right price, probably you don't have to sell anybody else. And at the same time, you can go on a Raspadori or another striker and build that player like they did with Lautaro, because Lautaro wasn't playing like that.
But Raspadori is going to cost you about 40 million. You're not going
to
get
him. You really reckon that much? You really reckon that much? I reckon more closer to 25.
Nah, it's going to be like 40 million. Sassuolo's not going to let him go for cheap. And also, again, what's the thing you're saying that you can find in Lukaku that you can't find nowhere else? I'm curious to see that, just for the terms of a debate, why you think he's the safer bet to keep, a player that probably, for the way he plays, will probably give you another 2 to 3 good years instead of Lautaro, that can possibly give you another 5 to 7 years. And if he continues to get better and you do have to sell him, you're probably looking at a higher market value, because we bought him at 20 million. So you're looking at if you're going to sell him, it's going to be at 120 to 130 million if you keep building him up. Lukaku right now, we bought him for about 80 million. If you sell him for 100, 120 million, at least you got back an extra 20 to 40, but you're not going to make as much off of like you do with Lautaro.
I'd be very concerned about Lukaku's presence in the dressing room and on that team leaving, to be honest. He does look like a big figure of blue.
That would be the only argument I would agree with. But in terms of attributes, like, the game's evolving. You know, the game's evolving. Strikers like Lautaro is pretty much the strikers you're getting these days. You're not really getting the Lukakus like that right now. And if you look at Chito Immobile, Chito Immobile is nothing like Lukaku. So to think that Inzaghi can't make it work with Toro, I'm not buying it.
Fair enough. Let's talk midfield. Let's talk who has to come and who has to go from there. The dead wood is pretty much what has to go out the window. I don't really care if we don't get a sign-on fee, if we get a transfer fee for Nainggolan. If he needs to stay in Cagliari, just take the wage and go. João Mário should be sold for a small amount. And then you've got your players like Gagliardini and Vecino. One of them, in my opinion, should be made to go. With this midfield, I don't think you should touch it too much, especially like your starters in Brozo, Eriksen, Barella. These are the players that just need to stay no matter what. Vidal and his wage also should take a hike, in my opinion. I don't think we're going to see those small clutch moments from Arturo like we did under Antonio Conte. So, Alessandro, over to you first. Men, midfield, where do you stand?
Well, I'm going to say something pretty bold. But aside Barella, I think everybody else on our midfield can leave. for the right amount of money. You know, of course I want to keep Brozovic and Eriksen, but if they pay me enough, Eriksen can go. If they pay me enough, Brozovic can go, and all our bench players. And then from there, we can find somebody else. Depaul is amazing. Locatelli is amazing. I know they have a high price tag. I'm just saying that I think the three in the back, Hakimi and Lukaku, are the only one, and Barella, of course, are the only one that I don't want to go. But all the other players are pretty expendable at the moment, starting from our captain to Taro. Everybody else for the right price can go, and I think Marotta is thinking something similar, but with all the players aside probably Bastoni and Barella.
What about the defenders in Skriniar and De Vrij? Christian Rivas, rotating over to you. Is anybody in our back three up for sale? For me personally, I think it's very important to keep that back three together next season.
I would say keep the back three, but it's also, if anybody's going to go, it's going to be De Vrij. We already saw that there was conversations between Romagnoli and Upper Inter. You don't remember that? I got the pictures in my phone if you want me to send it to you.
Yeah, I know. I remember the pictures. I wasn't too keen on it.
I mean, I remember before we've had this podcast during the Milan Derby, he said, who would be the only player I wouldn't completely mind from Milan coming to Inter? And I said, I don't hate Romagnoli. He's probably the only one I would take here. I still stand by that statement. He's not completely bad. He's just had terrible partners. He reminds me of an early Ranocchia. Now you see Ranocchia with good partners. He doesn't have problems. He's solid. He does great work back there. He's had man-of-the-match performances while stepping in for DeVry. I just don't think that players that play with terrible partners like Juan Jesus can be completely written off. That's just my personal opinion. I wouldn't mind Romagnoli. I just think DeVry, because of the whole beef between him and Inter over his agent getting bigger bonuses than him, and then him changing agents and everything, is kind of, I would not be surprised if it came from him winning the league.
I don't know about that. He does look pretty happy, but now he's been at our club, what, 3 seasons now? Maybe he's looking for that one big move left, because he's about to turn 29 as well, isn't he? Or 28. I know he's late 20s. So 29. I don't know, man. Yeah, so out of the back three, Alessandro, obviously you said, you know, many players are sellable. They could be on the market and Marotta could do anything. Would you bring anybody else in for the defense if you are going to cash in on one of the back three? Because let's face it, any one of those three that we sell will bring in money. They're very high-priced assets.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't really hear. You're asking in the back three who will sell?
Yeah, and if anybody would come in.
Well, again, I will keep all three. But if I have to pick, I will pick the buy just because it was a free transfer. So whatever they pay us is a plus Valenza. That's the only reason, because Bastoni is still a lot to amortize, and Skriniar, after 1 year that didn't play well, last year was amazing. So if one of the three needs to go, and probably is the right. But again, I wouldn't touch the defense at all, especially in Serie A. The team that wins at the end is the one with the best defense. At the moment, our defense is perfect.
Yeah, fair enough. I really want to talk about the news headline that came out yesterday that was of the most interest to me. It was the news that Suning is basically getting a 400 million injection from the Chinese state or some sort of government. 500 million, is it, Christian? Okay, cool. So, sorry, man, I accidentally muted you. Say that again.
It was $500 million.
$500 million. So that's a big thing. But I'm not too good when it comes to this stuff. So I'm not too sure if it means that this is, you know, good for Inter in a way that this is money we can use. It's not. So I don't really know much. So that's why I'm just going to go to Christian straight away. Off you go, man. Tell us about what's going on here.
So they pretty much took this out as a bailout. It's not good that they took a bailout. So if you've ever sat there and actually read up on Sunny, they pretty much came up a couple of years ago as a retail giant. They started expanding way too fast, and they couldn't keep up with the expansion to the point where they started selling off stores just to start making revenue back. For them taking a bailout, it's not a good thing for Inter, in my opinion. That tells you the dire state that they're in. But then again, it's all buyable back. They have to pay it by next year, or the interest rates are going to start going up. So either two things. Either they're in that bad of a situation, or they really expect that they're about to start making some serious money. Me personally,
yeah,
I don't think it's the second one. I think it's the latter. I think they're in a real bad situation. One thing about Sunning that people really need to pay attention to is that Zhang's, they're split into different companies. So Steven owns his own little companies, while Daddy owns a bunch of other companies, and they're pretty much like different entities that are working together but not really owned together. So it's one of those things like, where's your money really, really tied up? I was also reading an article a couple days ago that the reason BC Partners backed out was because they had no faith in the Chinese with their money, and there was like literally you couldn't get much information on their actual liquidity that they had. So it's one of those things that's kind of worrying when you start seeing stuff like that. They also took the 300 million euro loan, or the 275 million euro loan, my bad, from Oaktree, a U.S. hedge fund, which, again, if you're taking loans from hedge funds and you're offering up your shares as collateral, if you can't pay it, worst case scenario, you lose out on Inter and you lose that money you used before. Again,
what I was going to say is that, like, it's for Inter the club and Inter the fans, I think it's important for us to know is that if Project Zhang and Project Suning fail, it's a failure on them as a company and they forfeit their interest in our club. Inter as a club will continue to go on with whoever is interested, which, you know, at the end of the day, I guess it's really good that we won Scudetto 19 because we need to be on the map now more than ever in case that worst situation does happen, right?
Yeah, so
we've got to do well in the Champions League. We've got to be appealing. We've got to look like a. We've got to look like something that if it falls into someone's hands, they're happy to take it.
Yeah, that's correct. But also, I was never a fan of the Chinese buying us. Not a fan if they maintain owning us. Chinese business has been super, super shady for years. The communist state, again, dictates where the money goes. So hence COVID-19 came and all of a sudden Suning is strapped for cash. They can't do nothing. People want to come and buy the club. But then when they try to start really looking into the finances of the club and start looking at the finances of Suning, they don't have that access to it. And it's one of those things that's kind of worrisome. And unless we get lucky with a big oil mogul coming in and buying it, like Abramovich or a PSG owner, because you don't want one like that owned Malaga, where he pretty much ran that club bankrupt and refused to invest anything just because they didn't qualify for a Champions League. You know, you got to hope that you get one of those serious owners. If you get stuck with one of them, you're screwed. I mean, right now we're kind of in a situation where I don't even call it a win-lose situation. We're kind of flip a coin and hope for the best situation because it could be really, really bad or it can come out, okay, we made it to the other side. Again, I personally don't trust the Chinese.
I don't know. I don't want to. Yeah, I don't have anything bad to say with Sonny. I mean, when they come in, they brought players that made us win the Scudetto. And nobody could see the COVID situation coming. And being linked to the Chinese government, they had to do something that nobody did before because this whole mess never happened in the recent time. So now everybody in the same situation. The Superliga pant is the consequence. And now those teams, Real, Barcelona, Juve, they're still trying to go. They're going to have more consequences because of that. So it's a mess. Everybody's trying to save their ship, but everybody's going down in one way or another. So I don't think, like, you guys probably don't know, but in Italy right now, all the papers are talking about the situation at Inter, how bad it is, how we don't have money. Now the Milan supporters, the Juve supporters are laughing about our situation when their situation is the same, if not worse. Have Cristiano Ronaldo to deal with. Milan is losing their best players for nothing, and they're laughing about us. Everybody's in the same situation, and it's just
we're
ridiculous.
Not in the same situation. That's the thing you guys feel.
We're worse.
We're worse, and I'm gonna explain to you why. Juve's owners and Milan's owners can still put money into the club. They're allowed to put money into the club. Inter's owners are not. Their money is frozen in China. So you got to understand something when it comes to finances. If they couldn't pay it, they kept deferring the payments because if those payments weren't deferred, we could have legitimately been bankrupted and gone to bankruptcy court for it. Because you're not putting away payments of $1,000 or $2,000. You're talking about 20 to 40 to 50 to 60 to 80 million euros being deferred. The money wasn't there. The players weren't getting paid, and neither were the employees of the club. Because I know some
have we caught up on our wages? Have we caught up on our wages in time at the moment? I think we just made the last deadline, didn't we?
Yeah. And that's because we got to the capital from Oak Tree. So you got to understand, Agnelli can still divert funds into Juve, and it's okay. Milan's owners can still divert money. Elliot can still put money into Milan and make sure they're okay. Sonning can't do that. And that's
so what if Sonning knows what if Sonning knows something that's going to happen in China within the next few months that's going to open up the floodgates for them again? Maybe they know something we don't, and that's why we're all hoping that it can
restart. If that was the case, that it would have never took that bailout. If that's the case, you don't take that bailout. I come from the airline industry. So when it comes to bailouts, I can tell you when someone asks for a bailout, it's far, completely far from anything good, anything remotely positive. Because when you talk bailouts, you're talking about we're on the fringes of probably completely collapsing if we don't get this money. And if we collapse and we go into bankruptcy, you're auctioning off all the assets for pennies. You're not getting anything. You're losing everything out there. So it's not good that they're necessarily taking a bailout. A lot of industries took bailouts because of COVID, but they were able to get good deals where they have to pay it off in 7 to 10 years. The ones with Sonning are not 7 to 10 years. They're in the immediate future. You're talking between 1 to 3 years to pay back all that money. So unless they know something and they're about to get in contact with the plug and start making some flips, I don't really see where it's a positive. Again, that's the difference between Milan and Juve's owners to ours. They can still divert money into the club from their outside businesses and not have to worry as much as we do. We don't have that. We don't have it where Sonny can just inject money into us because the Chinese government won't let them move the money out of the country. That's why they had to take that bailout to sit there and sustain some of their companies that are outside of China, and that does not include Inter because we're not going to get any money from that. I don't see it coming because we're second. We're not even second. We're probably like 10th on their to-do list.
The situation in general is improving, and that should bring people back to the stadium. Hopefully, business are going back to normal. Hopefully, also the Chinese government is going back to normal. And on top of that, we still don't have a sponsor, and that should bring some money too, hopefully. So
I hope so. I don't know. But I know what you're saying about Donnarumma, and those rumors have died down a little bit. And I was kind of hoping that Christian Rivas's prophecy from 2 years ago was going to come true, and they were going to announce out of nowhere that, yeah, Donnarumma has signed a 5-year deal with Inter. It's looking more and more likely that it could be Paris, albeit it still could be Juventus as well. Christian, Donnarumma, dog snake move by him towards Milan, or he's just looking out for his own?
So the funny thing is, Zlatan said it best. He could have been Mr. Milan. He could have been like Maldini if he would have stayed and he didn't pull what he pulled. I think Raiola's plan backfired and shot him in the foot. Wasn't there rumors saying that PSG was going to sign him and then loan him out to Inter for the next 2 years as part of the deal for Hakimi on a free?
Wow.
I didn't hear that.
That sounds crazy. There's levels to that rumor. Far out.
And the thing is, me personally, I think Gigi's a fantastic keeper. I would hate to see him go to Juve, but also don't think Juve's looking at him because they have Szczesny, and they're going to have to offload Szczesny before they even bring somebody back because Szczesny's not going to sit there and take that. He's been there the last few years, and he's not going to take that. And I think that Gigi put himself in a real, real bad spot because he wanted to go to Barcelona. Hey, Barcelona got a fantastic goalkeeper in Ter Stegen.
Yeah.
What
about you, Alessandro? What did you think of the Donnarumma move? You know, something that we've seen coming for the last couple of years. I mean, I remember teaching a class, I think it was three or four years ago, and my uncle sent me the clip. He's like, dude, look at this. And it was just the scene of all the Milan fans throwing the cash at him when he was goalkeeping. It was bizarre. That's how you knew the relationship was coming to an end. But what's your final decision, bro? Did he really go about it the dirty way?
Well, the Donnarumma situation is weird because just 2 months ago, there was this all these rumors with big teams involved. And now, just 2 days ago, there was like Roma is trying to get Donnarumma. I mean, come on. This is ridiculous. We were talking about one of the best goalkeepers around for this age. And it just sucks we don't have the money to do that move because we need a goalkeeper and that will be perfect. He's already there.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to move. He's already there. Yeah. But we can't. I don't think he's going to Juve. Last thing I read is that now they're trying to maybe make peace and go back to Milan and extend the contract, which it will be surreal because Çalhanoğlu is trying to do the same. So like,
I don't think it happens. Surreal. They already signed the keeper.
Yeah, they signed the guy from Lille.
Hold on. The keeper they signed is from Lille. The owner of Lille is Elliot. So he just moved some money around. So it's not a big deal.
There you go.
I mean, it's still a big deal.
They can send it on loan or whatever. You know, it's not the problem. Of course, you keep Donnarumma if you can. But now everybody's pissed with Donnarumma. And he cannot find
Who's going to keep this?
Perfect.
Maldini.
You just keep this up for the. Yeah. Do you think it was Maldini that made the axe that said to Donnarumma, you know what, you either take this offer or it's done? Maldini said it to his face?
Oh, I'm sure he did, and I'm glad he did. You know, at some point, the club's got to stick up for themselves. Like, yo, you're not going to hold us hostage. At the end of the day, Milan's still Milan, whether we want to admit it or not. They're still a top club, and they're not going to sit there and be held hostage by Raiola or by Gigi. So it is what it is. Like, dude, you thought that this path was going to get you to what you wanted. Raiola said Barcelona, but Barcelona's sitting there like, hold up. We still got Ter Stegen, and he doesn't want to go anywhere, and we don't want him to go anywhere. You look at PSG, they still got Navas. Navas don't want to go anywhere. Navas is a top keeper.
He'll be vocal about it as well. When he got the boot from Real Madrid, he came out straight away and said, this is bullshit. I reckon I'm almost the best on the planet for the last couple of years.
Yeah, and he is. And you look at Madrid, they got in there. Come on, bro. They all got top keepers.
There is one option.
Say that again?
There is one option in Premier League, and that's Chelsea, because they want a goalkeeper.
They want a goalkeeper. Chelsea want a goalkeeper. They've got Kepa, Alavizabalaga, and that's fucking hell.
So they want to send Kepa away.
Chelsea don't want a keeper.
Yeah.
No, they don't want to keep him, eh?
They just won the Champions League. They're not going to go out there.
But like Kepa, I reckon Alessandro's true. They've got to get rid of Kepa, man. Yeah. How much did they buy Kepa for again? Wasn't it something ridiculous? Yeah, they were because they paid like 80 million for him. They won't even make half of that back. That was stupid.
They're not selling Kepa. No. They're sticking with
him. You don't think?
The only team in the Premier League that I could even see making a run at him, probably Man United, because De Gea is not getting any younger. That might be the only one, and even then,
he's going to run out of contract too.
Yeah,
he's going to run out of contract too.
Last thing I wanted to talk about was the absolute bodge job that the Intermedia House did in announcing Simone Inzaghi. I remember when Antonio Conte signed, there was a whole basically theatrical premiere of Zhang scoping him out from the top of Inter HQ and him driving a car in. It was like an absolute movie. And the contrast to that has been absolutely ridiculous. You know, it was just basically an image with a transparent Simone Inzaghi and welcome Mr. in some pretty poor font. But, you know, what was even funnier was, you know, some of the different memes and some of the different versions that were coming out. by some of the Inter fan graphics. But I just wanted to ask Christian's opinion. What was your thoughts on the announcement procedure for Simone Inzaghi?
We had an announcement procedure.
It's something else, eh? Look at him. I'm Simone.
So, yo, Alessandro, what were your thoughts, man? Explain the whole lemon thing. Explain it.
Yeah. Explain it for us, Alessandro.
So, lemon in Italian is limone, which is very similar to Simone. And I'm not sure why, but back in the day, they started calling him Limone Inzaghi. There's this rumor that after a game against Milan, his voice was weird. And so they started calling him Limone for that reason. I'm not sure, but everybody's calling him Limone Inzaghi. And so, you know, all this picture with lemons. And then the other funny thing, I don't know if you guys saw it, there is a picture of Brozovic on top of a tree.
Yeah, I saw that. That guy is part
saying, like, is he looking for lemon? Yeah,
crazy. Did you see it, Christian, bro? Brozovic is just climbing trees now, man.
I love
He's just Brozovic. Climbing trees taking photos, bro. He's crazy.
I love his energy.
I think he could have a really good season under Inzaghi as well, man. We'll have to see what happens, bro. We'll have to see. That's where I'm pretty much going to wrap up this edition of the podcast, unless any of my fantastic guests have anything they want to add. Alessandro, thank you for coming back on Inter Worldwide. Any last words?
No, if not, this is like a long thing about the tactics of Simone Inzaghi, but I don't think we have time about that.
We're going to talk a lot more about the tactical setup and stuff as the Mercato draws to a close and we know what personnel is going to be in, because as of right now, it's pretty impossible to talk that. Christian, any last words before we link up soon on Inter Worldwide, brother?
Yeah, I have a lot of words. I like this hat. It's a nice hat. I suggest you guys get it. It's pretty dope. Also, if you're going to the Orlando game, good luck and let me know how it is, because Florida in that summer heat, I remember when Inter came to D.C. and they were complaining about the humidity. Good luck in Orlando. Let me know how that goes, because I go a lot and I avoid the summer months, because one, you're not going to have fun in the parks because it's going to be a bunch of people there and you're going to have all those afternoon midday storms and it's humid. And I'm from the D.C. area where it's humid, but their humid is even worse than Central America humid, because I'm Salvadorian and Guatemalan and I've been back home. And that humidity in Florida is far worse. So let me know how it goes for them. I'll pray for
them. So if anyone was wondering if Christian was attending the Inter match in Orlando, the answer is no. From myself, Alessandro, and Christian Rivas, Forza Inter, ciao ragazzi. We'll see you soon.